Hello, everyone. It's glad to see all of you today. Nice crowd here today. There's a scripture in the Bible that I have had difficulty with in the past. Now, this difficulty that I had was, why did this individual do and say what he said? Now, if you please open your Bibles to Genesis 19, we'll read this scripture. Now, if you do not look at any other scriptures say that I quote, I'd ask that you please open your Bibles and look at this one. For God has told us that all scripture is given by inspiration by Him, and given to us to make us realize that what's wrong in our lives, to straighten it out, and help us to do what is right. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point and fully prepared to do good to everyone. Now, if that sounds familiar, that's because that's from 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. So let's open your Bibles here now to Genesis 19, let's begin in verse 4. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing." Now, as we go to verse 8, this is the scripture I had difficulty with. It says in verse 8, "Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under my protection, my roof." Now, as a father myself, this scripture just blows me away that somebody would do such a thing. Today, let's take a look at the story of Lot and see how a man got to such a state of mind that he would offer his two virgin daughters to a mob outside his home to sexual assault. In doing so, we'll discover the three steps that lead us to sin. And for those who like titles of the sermonette, this message is called The Three Steps That Lead Us to Sin. So who is Lot? In Genesis 11 and 12, we learn that Lot is Abram's nephew. God has instructed Abram to leave his father's home and go where God would lead him. God promised Abram with physical and spiritual blessings. In that journey to a new land, Abram takes Lot with him. In the process, both become rich and had large flocks and herds. Now, this would cause strife between the two because of the limited resources of the land in regards to water and the pasturage for the flocks. But as a man of peace, Abram offers Lot a solution. Let's read that in Genesis 13, verse 8. Most of the scripture we'll look up today will be in Genesis, so let's be no problem there. So in verse 8 says, "So Abram said to Lot, 'Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your husband, your herdsman and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left.'" Here we see Abram in an act of faith. For whatever Lot chooses, Abram knew that God would bless him. Now, on the other hand, Lot is more of a visual person, as we shall see. And that his example of faith and motivation is not the best example for us. So let's read in Genesis 13, verse 10. Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, toward Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Now here's the first step that leads us to sin. Step one, we look to sin from a distance and it looks good. I'll repeat that. Step one, we look to sin from a distance and it looks good. To Lot, the visual look toward the plain of Jordan and the other cities that contained there, like Sodom and Gomorrah, for example, was a sight to behold. The well-watered valley in its greenness appealed to Lot. And that's how sin is in our lives. For sin does appeal to many people. For example, during the Super Bowl beer commercials, you see people laughing, having fun, enjoying themselves with others. But you will never, ever see a person drink a bottle of beer. Now, there's nothing wrong with beer or two in moderation. But there are some people who go to the extreme and become alcoholics because it looked good in the beginning. So let's see what happened to Lot now in Genesis 13, verse 12. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. So Lot takes the next step, and he moves toward Sodom. Now this is the second step that leads us to sin. Step two, we move closer toward sin and dwell closer to it. Step number two, we move closer towards sin and dwell closer to sin. Sin is more attractive as we move closer to it. In fact, at a later time, we find that in Genesis 14, 12, that Abram is actually living in Sodom. But he is more than just being a resident of Sodom. He's doing far more than that. Let's go to Genesis 19 and find out. And while you're going there, let me give you some background before this scripture. What had happened before this is that three men appeared to Abram, now named Abraham. As we see from other references in the Bible, the man who was called Lord by Abraham is actually the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ with two angels. Now, Abram is told by God that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their many, many grievous sins, but would repeal that sentence if there were only 10 righteous people in those cities. Now, these two angels go to Sodom. And this is where we pick up in Genesis 19, verse 1. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting at the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. Now, this is one of those scriptures that we can easily read right over, miss the significance of what has just been said. Last year, we heard in a sermon from Mr. Steve Kuhn the importance and significance of gates in the Bible. The gate that Lot was sitting at was more than the entrance to Sodom. This area was where the politics of the city was carried out. The wheeling and dealing that goes with politics was done in this area at the gate of Sodom. Lot was well known among the inhabitants of Sodom. He was actually participating in that city's government. Now here's the third step that leads us to sin. Step three, we sit at the gate of sin. I'll say it again. Step three, we sit at the gate of sin. It's interesting to know that in 2 Peter 2, verse 7, that Lot is called righteous. and was troubled by the depravity of the people in Sodom. We see that the two angels came to warn the righteous Lot, himself and his family, to remove themselves from Sodom before they destroy it. Now, Lot was surrounded by evil all around him. And Sodom and Gomorrah is most identified in the Bible as their sin of homosexuality. But God also says that their sins in Ezekiel 16 were this, included pride, fullness of food, the abundance of idleness, it did not strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. They were haughty, and they committed abomination before me. When you sit at the gate of sin, it has a clearly corrupting influence, as it did for Lot and his family. Lot thought he could reason with the men that had surrounded his house. But you cannot reason with sin. The scriptures in Genesis 19 that I read at the beginning of this message show a deprived mob of men nearly breaking down the door to Lot's home. It was only by divine intervention that the angels who Lot had invited into his home saved his life. Now let's go to Genesis 19, verse 10, and we can read that. But the men inside reached out, this were the angels, and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. Sin blinds people to the truth. Just as a person is sitting near a roaring hot fire and feels its warmth, sitting at the gates of sin corrupts our view of the world. Some people think that they can overcome sin in their daily lives and being around their friends who commit sin on a continual basis by just being strong. But constantly sitting at the gates of sin will wear a person out in time. Now Lot took his two married daughters, his wife, and fled Sodom. And in Genesis 19, the beginning of verse 24, God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah and all the nearby cities. And in verse 26 it says, but his wife, we're talking about Lot's wife now, looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now she looked back towards Sodom. But it's not clear in the English here what the meaning of for the word look back, because it's more than just a casual looking back over the shoulder. And according to Strong, the Hebrew word looked back is nabat, spelled N-A-B-A-T. Nabat means to look at intently, to regard with pleasure, favor, or to behold. Have regard for, have respect. The heart of Lot's wife was clearly back in Sodom. She was corrupted by the evils of that city and way of life. Lot would end up losing all his possessions, his wife, his two other married daughters that had remained back in Sodom, only to escape with his own life and his two unmarried daughters. Next week, we will observe the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread. These holy days of God are but two of the seven days, holy days of God. They show us God's plan of salvation for you and me, but more importantly, all of mankind. I believe that the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread are the most important holy days that God has offered to us. This because we must acknowledge that we are sinners. We must accept Jesus' sacrifice for us through repentance and putting out sin in our lives. We have an opportunity this week to examine ourselves in our own Christian journey. It is not used to evaluate anyone else but yourself. We must do this with a humble attitude. Today I'm asking you to look at not only the sins that you are committing right now, but possible future sins. A few of you may not like what you see. You probably walk around with hunched shoulders and look down. But don't do that. God says, look up, for your salvation is near. In closing today, we saw the example of Lot, that there are three steps that lead us to sin. Step one, we look to sin from a distance, and it looks good. Step two, we move closer towards sin and dwell there. Step three, we sit at the gates of sin. In the coming holy days of this coming week, let us look closely for these steps in our own lives and remove them from our lives. But this is something that we cannot do on our own. We must realize that we are powerless to overcome these difficulties on our own. As Romans 7:18 states, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature. For I have desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Let us yield to the Spirit of God who is in us to overcome these steps that lead us to sin. Recently, 9/11 has showed us that things can happen very quickly. Those 3,000 people who went to work in daycare that day did not know that their lives would be ended that day. I believe that God is working to prepare the bride of Christ in all of us. We don't know when Christ will come or even our own time. So let's begin to remove the steps in our lives that would lead to sin. Otherwise, brethren, you and I will make the same mistake as Lot. For Lot got to such a state of mind that he offered his own two virgin daughters to a mob for sexual assault. Let's learn from this, brethren.